Okay, let's unpack this. You've handed us a fascinating study published this year in the International Journal of Mathematical Sciences and Computing.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Evaluating the Impact of Test-Driven Development on Software Quality Enhancement.
That's the one. It's quite a deep dive itself, looking at how this specific approach, test-driven development, or TDD,
mm-hmm.
how it actually impacts the final code quality.
Right, and the source material here, it's pretty rich. We're looking at empirical studies, survey data.
Yeah, and insights directly from software professionals, people actually using TDD.
So our mission today is really to pull out the most important insights from all of that for you. We want to get a handle on what TDD fundamentally is, why teams adopt it, what the, you know, real challenges are.
And crucially, what this research, especially their survey, tells us about how effective it really is out there.
Because traditionally, software often got built first, and then came the bug hunt.
Right.
Exactly. The source points that out writing all the code, then finding problems, it's often slow, expensive. Finding things late is always harder.
Like checking the foundations after the roof is on.
Hmm.
So this study positions TDD as, well, flipping that whole process.
Pretty much, yeah.
So let's get right into the core of it. What is test-driven development, fundamentally?
Okay, so the source describes it as an approach where you, the developer, write an automated test before you write the actual production code that's supposed to make that test pass.
So you write the check first, then the code to cache it.
Kind of. It's a coding technique, often tied to agile stuff like extreme programming. The main idea is defining what the code should do from the client's view through a test. First.
In this cycle. Red, green, something.
Red, green, refactor. Exactly. Write a test that fails, it's red. Then write the absolute minimum code to make it pass green. And then you clean up that code, make it better, while keeping the test green. That's refactor.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, I think. The study highlights some compelling reasons why people actually adopt TDD. What's the big one?
Early defect detection. That comes up again and again. By writing that test first, you're basically forced to think about potential problems, edge cases, right from the start.
Instead of an afterthought.
Precisely. And that usually leads to much better test coverage. The source is pretty clear. This significantly cuts down the cost and effort of fixing bugs because you're catching them, you know, almost immediately.
Yeah, finding a typo minutes after you made it versus weeks later when it's buried deep. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Improved code design.
That's another major one. Thinking about how to test the code before you even write it, it naturally pushes you towards making that code easier to test. Which usually means more modular code, components that aren't tangled up with each other, what we call loosely coupled, easier to manage, easier to understand.
And the tests themselves, they act as like a safety net.
Exactly. That suite of tests becomes your regression shield. It gives developers the confidence to refactor, to clean up the code, improve its internal structure without worrying they're secretly breaking something.
Because a test would fail immediately.
Right. So over time, this leads to cleaner, much more maintainable code.
Now, the study also suggests TDD can actually boost productivity. That seems counterintuitive if you're writing tests first.
Yeah, it does seem like extra work up front. But the argument is that upfront clarity saves you time later. Writing the test gives you a very specific target. You know exactly what the code needs to do.
Less guesswork, maybe.
Less guesswork and, crucially, much less time sunk into debugging later on. That's often a huge time drain.
And I heard the tests can act as documentation, too.
They absolutely do. They become living documentation. Someone new joins the team, or you come back to code months later, the tests tell you what it's supposed to do. Plus, that red-green refactor cycle encourages writing only the code needed to pass the test.
Ah, so it helps avoid unnecessary complexity. Code bloat.
Yep, prevents that bloat. And breaking down big problems into tiny test code cycles,
yeah.
Many find that actually helps them manage complexity and stay focused.
Okay, and the paper also mentions its applicability is quite broad.
Definitely. It fits really well with Agile, obviously, but it's especially valuable, the source notes, where quality is absolutely critical. Think safety systems, medical software, finance.
Places where a bug isn't just annoying, it could be dangerous or cost millions.
Precisely. It's also good for projects where requirements change often because the tests help manage that change, and even for teams spread out geographically.
How so?
The test suite can act as a common language, a shared specification that everyone works towards, regardless of where they are.
Okay, that lays out the theory and the why. But how does this actually stack up in practice? Let's get into the research, especially that survey they did.
Right, this is where it gets grounded. They used a mixed approach, but the survey, mainly among software pros in Bangladesh, gives us real-world perspective.
How many people did they talk to?
They got responses from 124 professionals, engineers, developers, even students, a good mix.
And what was the headline finding on TDD in quality?
Well, get this. When asked which development model was most acceptable for enhancing software quality, a huge majority, 72.6%, picked TDD.
Wow. Compared to what?
Compared to only 14.5% for the traditional waterfall model and 11.3% for Agile generally. That's a strong signal from people doing the work.
A very strong signal. And were these people just thinking about TDD or actually using it?
Mostly using it. 87.9% of them said they had actually implemented TDD in their projects.
So they're speaking from experience. And how effective did they find it?
Overwhelmingly positive. Among those users, a massive 65.3% rated TDD as highly effective for enhancing software quality. Another 23.4% said moderately effective.
So add that up. Nearly 90% found it genuinely helpful for quality.
That's impressive. Did they specify what kind of quality TDD helped most with?
They did. The number one answer, by a big margin, 57.3%, was defect reduction.
Lines up perfectly with that early bug detection point.
Exactly. After that came code maintainability and user satisfaction, tied at 13.7%, and then overall product quality at 12.9%. Interesting. What about how it affects the team itself? Collaboration.
Yeah, they asked about that too. 70.2% rated TDD's impact on improving team collaboration as highly positive.
Maybe because the tests create that shared understanding.
That seems plausible. And on maintainability specifically, 71% felt TDD significantly improves it.
Okay, those survey numbers paint a strong picture of professional belief. But the study also included some concrete examples, right? From big companies.
Yes, and these really put numbers on the benefits. An IBM banking project, for instance, saw a 40% drop in defect rate and a 25% increase in code coverage with TDD, led to happier clients, naturally.
20%, that's huge.
Yeah.
And Medtronic. In the medical device space.
They saw a 30% decrease in post-release problems. That's a direct impact on patient safety. The source does mention they had initial hurdles with regulations, but the quality payoff was substantial.
Incredible. What about e-commerce? Shopify.
Shopify reported a 50% boost in development pace, faster development, and a 15% rise in customer retention, which they linked to fewer bugs reported after adopting TDD.
Faster and fewer bugs leading to happier customers. That's the dream, isn't it?
Pretty much. And even Microsoft, on their Azure cloud platform, saw a 45% decrease in faults and a 20% increase in code maintainability.
So when you put the survey perceptions together with these kinds of hard numbers from major projects.
Yeah, the case presented in this study for TDD's positive impact seems really quite strong on quality, speed, even business results.
Okay, the benefits are clear. The evidence seems compelling from this source, but it's not always a walk in the park, right? The study is upfront of the challenges.
Absolutely not. Adopting TDD definitely has its hurdles. A big one is just the learning curve. It's a different way to think and work.
And that initial time investment, writing tests first.
Exactly. The survey really reflected this. 75.8% pointed to a lack of developer experience as a key challenge. And 67.7% mentioned the time constraints, that feeling of needing extra time to write tests upfront.
It feels slower at the start, even if it pays off later.
Right. And that initial feeling can be tough to justify on projects with super tight deadlines or, you know, not enough resources.
There are also cultural hurdles, getting the whole team on board.
Yeah, that's significant. It needs buy-in. It often means changing established habits, existing processes, and any change like that can face resistance.
What about the tests themselves? Can you really test everything easily with TDD? Like databases or external services?
That's a really common technical challenge. External dependencies, databases, APIs, third-party services, sometimes even tricky UI components, they can be hard to isolate and test purely with TDD unit tests.
So what do people do?
They use techniques like mocking, creating fake versions of those dependencies for tests, and things like dependency injection to swap them in and out. But the source notes, this adds its own complexity.
Right, and the survey showed people struggled with this.
Yeah, 58.9% reported difficulty creating comprehensive test cases. That likely includes wrestling with these dependencies. Plus, if you rely too heavily on mocks, your tests might pass, but the real system could still fail when talking to the actual database or API.
And then there's keeping the tests themselves up to date. That sounds like work.
It definitely is. As the software changes new features, refactoring the tests have to be maintained too. If they aren't, they become brittle, they break easily, or worse, they give misleading results.
False alarms or tests passing when there's actually a bug.
Exactly. False positives or false negatives. Both undermine the trust in the test suite. The survey found 52.4% had trouble refactoring tests when requirements changed. It can become a real burden, especially on large projects.
So that safety net needs constant mending.
It does. The source suggests that maintenance effort can sometimes feel like it outweighs the benefits if you don't have the resources or discipline. Automated build pipelines help manage it, but they have their own overhead.
The study also flagged a kind of behavioral trade-off.
Yes, this was interesting. A significant chunk of survey respondents, 71.8%, noticed a potential pitfall. Teams focusing too much on just making the tests pass, sometimes at the expense of good overall design.
Ah, gaming the tests instead of focusing on quality design.
Kind of, yeah. You can write code that ticks the boxes for the tests, but is still clunky or hard to understand. The source also mentioned limited applicability for some project types. 36.3% noted this, especially those where requirements are extremely fuzzy or changing constantly.
And the discussion section dug into even more subtle issues, like company culture.
Right, this was fascinating. They suggest TDD's highly structured nature might actually, maybe, hinder creativity in environments focused purely on experimentation, like R&D or some startups.
But it helps in others.
But it seems to really shine in cultures that value accuracy and predictability. So the fit depends partly on the company's style.
It's not just a technical choice, then.
It has definite cultural dimensions. They also briefly mentioned something less talked about, the potential for developer burnout from the constant rigorous cycle, especially under pressure. And yeah, in super fast-paced startups, just trying to find any product that works, the structure might feel too rigid initially.
Okay, so that covers the current state, benefits, challenges. But the study didn't just stop there, right? It looked ahead, proposed some extensions.
Exactly. They proposed an enhanced model, building on TDD, but adding more. A key piece was integrating behavior-driven development, or BDD.
PDD, that uses more natural language for tests, more user-focused.
That's the idea. BDD describes behavior using sentences that even non-technical people can understand, like given context, when action, then outcome. This aims to improve communication between devs, testers, and the business side.
Makes sense. What else was in their proposed model?
Things like a deliberate test-first architecture designing for testability from the start, more emphasis on integration testing to see how parts work together, dedicated code review steps, and bringing performance testing earlier into the cycle.
So weaving different quality practices together more tightly.
Right. It's a more holistic view, trying to give testers a more integrated role throughout. And the paper mentioned that the survey respondents seemed quite positive about this proposed model, offered many compliments.
Now, there was also this idea of three tiers of TDD. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, that was quite novel. It's this idea that maybe TDD doesn't have to be one size fits all for the entire project. They suggested adapting the level of TDD rigor.
Like different levels for different situations.
Exactly. Maybe an exploratory level for early, uncertain phases where you need flexibility, a standard level for typical development, and a comprehensive level for critical areas or when requirements are stable.
So you could balance innovation early on with rock-solid reliability later.
That's the goal, tailoring the effort to the risk and certainty at different stages. It suggests TDD can be more flexible than often assumed.
And finally, they pointed towards future research. Where do we need to know more?
They highlighted a few areas: understanding the human aspects, better team dynamics, communication, maybe that developer well-being point, how TDD applies in emerging tech like AI or blockchain.
Right, new contexts.
Also, looking at more advanced automation, how to better integrate user experience testing within a TDD flow, and crucially, tracking the long-term effects of TDD across different types of projects and organizations over time.
Which really emphasizes that context matters.
Absolutely. It's not just if TDD works, but where, when, how, and for whom it works best. This study acknowledges its limits, but sets a good path for that more nuanced research.
So, wrapping this up, what's the big picture from this 2024 study? It seems clear that test-driven development is, well, highly regarded by the professionals who actually use it.
Definitely. The survey data is pretty strong on that. Users perceive real benefits, especially in catching bugs early, which leads to better quality and makes code easier to maintain down the road.
And those real-world examples, IBM, Medtronic, Shopify, Microsoft, they add weight to that, showing some pretty dramatic, measurable improvements in defects, speed, even customer happiness.
But, and it's an important but, the study is also very clear that it's not magic. TDD takes effort. There's that initial learning curve, the time investment, and the ongoing need to maintain those tests diligently.
Plus, you need to think about how it fits your team's culture, your project-specific needs. It's not just a technical switch you flip.
Exactly. The challenges around testing dependencies, avoiding the just pass the test trap, and managing test maintenance are real.
And those forward-looking ideas like integrating BDD or that tiered approach suggest the practice itself is still evolving. It's about applying it intelligently.
Right. Understanding the nuances, adapting it smartly, that seems key to getting the most out of it.
Which really leaves us and you listening with a critical question, doesn't it? Given that tension, the upfront effort, the maintenance burden versus those potential long-term gains in quality, maintainability, and less time spent debugging, how do you actually figure out where that balance point lies for your specific project, your team, and your priorities?